Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Time now to welcome Avi K, guide to the Kotel. Avi, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us. Let's recap. Have I spoken to you this year?
maybe. Yes, we have. We spoke even though I was down the road from your
studios. Sorry. Yeah, right.
I wasn't able to come in.
Yes. But,
I'm sorry. Happy New Year again.
Well, why not? Why not, Avi? Sorry, just the way time is going, I cannot believe we're in the first week of February already. I mean, where did January go? Already 1 month down and this is it. It's just going to, keep going. But anyway, Avi, thanks so much once again for joining us. Welcome back to the Afternoon Overdrive. Well, Avi, over to you. Update from the Kotel, although my producer told me that you haven't been in that part of the world as of late.
No, I haven't been since I've come back.
Okay.
I usually do an afternoon shift at the Kotel, and there really isn't one this time of the year.
Okay.
Because it's cold and there are few visitors coming.
Right.
And it's also a nice break for me to be able to sit and work, you know, throughout the weekend to catch up on a bit of research that is sometimes a bit lagging behind.
Indeed.
But there are some very interesting things that that's been happening at the Kotel.
Okay.
First of all, the 3D or 4D AI tool that was launched a few months ago has been relaunched. You simply scan the barcode that'll be all around the Kotel courtyard. You face your phone towards the Kotel, and you'll be able to climb over the wall, so to speak.
Wow.
Or look through the Kotel and take a tour of what things were like in the Second Temple era. So, but just standing there, you're able to go through your smartphone and really take a walk around what it was like 2,000 years. That's a wonderful piece.
That sounds incredible.
Of technology.
Wow. Okay.
The one challenge that they did have is that reception is poor down by the Kotel. So I hope that they've boosted that.
Okay.
But Mike, the Kotel continues to be a place of solace
for
so many people. There was a bar mitzvah 4 days ago of a young man called Zev Breloslavsky, a young man who had his bar mitzvah at the Kotel, and he put on tefillin, the Jewish prayer phylacteries that belonged to his brother Rom,
yes,
who is still a captive in Gaza. And it must have been a very, very emotional experience. But once again, where did Jews gravitate to? They gravitate to the Kotel. And the Argentinian foreign minister was also there, and he signed the book at the Kotel. And also the staff and the chief of staff and the staff of the embassy of Thailand,
yes,
came to the Kotel to show gratitude for the release of their hostages and hoping that more will be released. And I'm a little bit upset about this one. I wasn't there when it happened, but twice a year, the letters to God arrive at the Kotel. So there are thousands and thousands of letters addressed to God, Jerusalem, or to God, the Western Wall, and posted from all over the world without any more detail. And they arrive miraculously through the postal services at the Kotel, and they then get put into the wall on behalf of these people from all over. And we know that coming up in about 3 months' time is Pesach, and those letters will be taken out and buried on the Mount of Olives. And again, it'll happen before Rosh Hashanah. So it's just, again, just signifying how pivotal the Kotel is to every Jew all over the world. Mike, what I really wanted to maybe do today was just to take a little walk down memory lane. But I think maybe what I'll do is I'll start, because we've got 2 minutes left and I unfortunately can't go longer today.
Oh, okay.
But
right.
The Dome of the Rock on the other side is a Muslim building, but it is a fascinating building. You know, the truth is that's the oldest Muslim building in Jerusalem, and it was built in the years between the years 688 and 611. So if you think about it, the temple was destroyed in the year 70, So 610 years later, after we've been through the Byzantine Empire, which was the Holy Roman Empire, the Roman, and then the Catholic Empire, the Umayyads, which were the Muslim group from Turkey, today's Turkey, they now ruled this through Suleiman the Great, and the Dome of the Rock was built. It wasn't built as a mosque. It was built as a place of pilgrimage, simply because they found it very unsafe to go to Mecca. The Shiites and the Sunnis had already had this split with the murder of Muhammad, the Prophet's great grandson, and they didn't find it safe to go to Medina and to Mecca anymore. So the third holy site became that. And what's interesting about it is that we all know that we call the Dome of the Rock on Harabait, which is the mountain of the house, which mm-hmm. is the place that we all know it, where the temple stood. But according to Muslim tradition, it's actually called Haram al-Sharif, which is a term that we've heard, which means place of respect. Okay. And maybe that's a good place to stop before we carry on next week.
Sure.
That hopefully it will become a place of respect for all religions to be able to go there freely. But it's got a fascinating history. The dome was destroyed, was dismantled, rebuilt. There was a whole soap opera of a murder there in 1951. There was looting that happened, not by the Jews, but by the Christians a little bit later on. But we'll get into that next week, and I look forward to discussing it.
I look forward to it too, Avi, and also look forward to, getting an update on your late son's project, the LEK project. But Avi, thank you as always for joining us on today's show. Avi K, guide to the Kotel. Well, I was hoping to spend a bit more time with Avi, but of course now, hey, life is not a constant, isn't it? Yes, everyone has got something on their diaries. Once again, thanks to Avi.